This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. The Memorial of St. Jerome by Father William Doc Holliday.
All Scripture is inspired by God.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I speak of St. Padre Pio a lot, and it is true that he is one of my absolute favorite saints. But the one that I have probably the closest affinity for is St. Jerome. St. Jerome, he was not a bishop, he was not an abbot, he was a simple priest. He was a simple priest who lived his entire life consumed by and lived his life using as an example the Holy Scriptures. He was about the Scriptures. So I love that part of it. And he was also very, very direct. He was so direct that there's a whole lot of people who don't particularly care to read some of St. Jerome's commentary because he was so absolutely direct. You can be direct when you appeal to the source of his directness, the Scriptures. The Scriptures are inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. Not the parts we like, not the parts that sound nice. All Scripture is inspired by God. And it's profitable for rebuke, correction, reproof, and training up every man into a righteous person, teaching us. We have to appreciate that. St. Jerome did. St. Jerome, though, was not born into a family, and some way God, in a miraculous way, infused the Scriptures on his mind. It was a long and arduous process. This is what we need to come away from tonight, because I think everybody in here has got an appreciation for the Scriptures. Everybody in here has an appreciation for them being God's Word in their totality and need to be taken as such. I think everybody appreciates that. But there's a practicality in our understanding of Scripture. And I don't mean understanding the words, understanding it as what it is. It takes a process of immersing ourselves into Scripture. It takes work on our part to appreciate the depths and the profound nature. We're never going to get it on this side of the world. St. Jerome was dumbfounded in some of the things that he learned later on. But we can't stop trying. And again, this process, this arduous process of delving into God's Word is a necessity for us. St. Jerome, prime example. Man's born into a family, not high bred, not tremendously poor either. And in his early days, he was skeptical, let's just say that, of the claims of the Christian faith. He was skeptical. It doesn't matter who you are, we start out this way anyway, skeptical of the faith. I don't mean you deny it. I mean skeptical of what it really expects of us. I look at my own life. You know, I never denied that there was a God ever one time. Never. Would perish the thought. Would have argued till I was blue in the face that there is a God. But I didn't live like it. I had this view in my mind that, he's God and all whatnot. He doesn't care what I do. You know, I'm just little old me running around this face of this planet. So it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal. He cares about each and every one of us as an individual. He loves each and one of us as an individual. He died for each and every one of us as an individual. We have to appreciate that there's an individual aspect to our faith. But we can be skeptical. We don't get it all. This is where St. Jerome started. is why, you know, he resonates with me. He was skeptical about all these truth claims that he heard. But then as he lived his life, he saw good and he saw bad. He came to the conclusion, you know what? This God thing is real. He is real. He expects something of me, and I must comply. Oh, that's when he learned scripture. No, it's not. That's when he went out into the desert and lived for years in prayer. In prayer, meditation, and contemplation of this God who he knew in his heart had drawn him by his grace to himself. He works through this. Then he comes back to the city and he's ordained to the priesthood. And after he's ordained to the priesthood, he comes to this realization of, you know, I know this faith. Now I appreciate this faith. What is the source of this faith? It is the Word of God. This was the catalyst for him to jump headfirst into the scriptures. And it wasn't just a matter of reading the scriptures. It was a matter of arduous effort, because he didn't just want to understand the scriptures in translation, in the language that he spoke. He studied them, and after schooling, and everybody knows how arduous that is, he learned Greek, he learned Hebrew, Chaldee, he learned all these languages. He associated himself with a Jewish convert to learn Hebrew so he could delve into the scriptures in their original language. And you need to do this. You know, most people do not know. I had a seminary professor. He made a statement, and it's really true. He was repeating it. He said, reading the scriptures in translation is like kissing your bride through her veil. Are you kissing her? Yes. But through her veil, is that the same thing as really kissing her? No, it's not. Reading the scriptures in translation is like that. And it doesn't matter what your native language is. You see, Spanish as native language. To read the scriptures in Spanish is a Spanish translation of scripture. You speak English, all the myriad English translations of the Bible. What's this translation better? This translation better? Yeah, there are a lot of them that are better than others, but guess what? They're still translations. You have to be at least able to work in the original languages if you truly want to understand some of the nuances that you're missing if you read it in translation. And most of us do not have that luxury. That's why we have priests. That's why they went to seminary. There is a sad state of affairs in a lot of Catholic seminaries, because when I went to seminary, you're required to take 4 semesters of Hebrew and 4 semesters of Greek. Hebrew is an ancient language. You would think that, you know, that must have been hard. Hebrew wasn't that difficult. Well, it was difficult, but I think it was the instructor. He had such a love for Hebrew that it made it easy to learn. Greek, on the other hand, oh my gosh. Greek, when I was in seminary, you had to get at least an 85 in every class to pass on. My phone rang one day, and it was my Greek professor. I was like, it was not a friend. So I'm like, oh, this couldn't be good. You know, he's not. I know my grades, and he's not calling me up saying, hey, you've done phenomenal in Greek this semester. Like, hey there. And I was like, yeah. He goes, had a little problem with, you know, I did your averages, and it's not quite the 85. It wasn't quite the 85. So two things. You can repeat the semester, or you can do what they called summer Greek. Summer Greek was where you went to a Greek class once a week through the whole summer, which is like 8 weeks, and you studied, and you took a test at the end of the day. You had to get a 100 on the test. Every week you went back, you had a cumulative test. So it was that week's and the weeks before. 100. You had to get 100 out of it. As I chose that route. And somebody actually posed me the question, well, why don't you just take the semester over again? I said, because I'd rather somebody set me on fire. I meant that in all sincerity. That was just that difficult for me. But to endeavor through that, it gives you a whole different perspective, all that being said. If you want to know the scriptures, you need to put yourself out. Like I said, and it's not expected for the faithful to learn Greek and Hebrew. Like I said, that's why you have priests. But as a deficiency in Catholic seminary says there's a lot of... I've talked to Catholic priests that never took a day one of Hebrew. They'd take like a semester of this like very basic Greek class, and that's it. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. You need to know how, he said he speaks Greek and Hebrew. No, he doesn't speak Greek and Hebrew. Okay, I got a bunch of different Hebrew and Greek tools at my house that I can use to help me in the original languages. But just that in and of itself, you're head and shoulders above people who have to read it in translation. The scriptures are so profound that we do need to either do it ourselves or have access to someone who has, because this is our faith. This is our faith. I actually read something today, and it was on a Catholic website, and the claim was that the scriptures are not our faith. Oh, yes, they are. Absolutely our faith. Everything, the argument is among some people, the church gave us the scriptures. The church didn't write them. The church, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, canonized them. They had already been written. They were already looked upon as scripture by the Hebrews in the New Testament. It was like, what are inspired by the Holy Spirit? The church made that determination. But after the determination was made, then all bets are off. It's scripture from now on. That is canonical scripture. It must be taken as the inspired, inerrant word of God. It is infallible. It does not err. There's no mistakes in it. It's infallible. It will not fall. Not because the church came up with something. The church canonized what was there. So the church and the scriptures and the traditions of the church, the magisterial teachings of the church, they have to be in conformity one with another. This is why run, flee from any priest, bishop, anyone else who looks at you, well, the scriptures say this. Well, that was for back in the day. We don't have to listen to that anymore. That is a bold-faced, out-and-out lie. Okay? There are parts in scripture like animal sacrifices, for instance. Why do we not? Scripture say you sacrifice animals. Why don't we? Because in the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ says we don't do that anymore, in a nutshell. Okay? There are several things they did in the Old Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, no, not anymore, because it all pointed forward to me, and now I am the fulfillment of all these things, so we don't do that anymore, because that would be taking a step backward. But other things in Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, if they said it in the New Testament, it still applies to us in our day and age. Women should remain silent in the church. I suffer not a woman to have authority over a man. Okay, men should come to mat with their heads uncovered. Okay, actually, I had an usher one time. I love guys like this. There was a guy here who's visiting for an Easter mass, and he came in with he's all decked out as Easter, and he had a hat on. Usher's come, why don't you tell him to take the hat off? I was like, if he's here for a little while, you can do it, but let it go now. You know, but why did the usher say that? Why did he presume to say, you want me to go over here and tell that guy to take his hat off? Because the scriptures say that men should not wear hats. They should not have their head covered. Like when the priest comes in, what does he do as soon as he gets to the foot of the altar? Takes the hat off. Okay? This is the rationale. It does apply still to our day. Well, that was just a fashion statement from back in those days. The Holy Spirit doesn't put fashion statements in scripture. Okay? It's for a reason. We got to appreciate that it's for a reason, and we just got to, you know what? We just got to be humble and acquiesce to it, because it's what God says, because that's what the scriptures are. God's words to us in their totality. And we've got to appreciate that. St. Jerome did. We need to also. And we need to have the same pattern as he did. If we have been, and on those times when we become skeptical of our faith, we have to not necessarily jump into the scriptures, but pray. We need to pray a lot for the Holy Spirit's guidance about what the questions may be that we're having, and to open our eyes to the scriptures that we ultimately are going to appeal. We need to do this. This is the pattern. This is why I like St. Jerome so much. Again, particularly in my case, he was very direct. A lot of people didn't like that. All right? He was direct because you can be direct if you're dealing with the scriptures. We don't take things out of scripture. We do not approach scripture in a societal or cultural context. We can communicate it in a societal or cultural context, but society and culture does not dictate scripture. We're so much more enlightened now about human relationships, so we can say that the most vile of abominations before God, demonic evils, are okay now because we have this deeper sense of human relationships. That is a bold-faced, out-and-out satanic lie. Why? Because the scriptures say it. Okay? We never do anything that violates scripture, ever. This is what we have to appreciate. It is the matter of our faith. The scriptures are, contrary to what I read today, they are our faith. Everything the Catholic Church teaches, practices, believes, is founded on God's word. And that word has been validated by the tradition of the church and the consistent magisterial teachings of the church, the deposit of the faith. This is what we have to understand, and this is what we have to approach it. We have to approach it like St. Jerome did, with our nose to the grindstone and actually putting ourselves out to understand it in order that we can live a life of faith that he did, that ultimately resulted in his sainthood. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.